Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very geeky show. The kind you listen to with mother.
Social Geek. Social Geeks, this is Jack Munson of Minolto Incorporated. It is 8 o'clock in the east, 5 o'clock in the west, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio. Our co-host Deb Evans is actually out on assignment this week, so if you're tuned in tonight, Deb, I hope you're actually on the beach somewhere, but if you're tuned in, good evening, thanks for joining us, and we look forward to chatting with you next Wednesday night on Social Geek Radio. A couple of quick things I wanted to mention before we get to tonight's topic. I wanted to say a big thanks to the Franchise Update folks for putting on just a fantastic conference in Vegas last week, the Multi-Unit Franchise Conference. Wow, what a terrific event. Probably the best collection of speakers I've seen at any franchising, marketing, management, or any other type of conference in a couple of years. So kudos to you guys for putting on such a great show and having so many great speakers, including I got to meet the great J.B. Bernstein, the legendary sports agent. He was terrific. And I also got to meet and listen to Frank Abagnale, who is the legendary con man, forger, and now FBI trainer, who gave just a fascinating hour-long discussion about his life and the work he's doing now. And I think the thing that everybody was really impressed by Frank was the fact that, you know, he was pulling these cons in the 1960s and then helping the FBI track down people who were doing the sort of the same thing. And, you know, 50 years later, with all of the new technologies and new types of crimes out there, he's still doing the same thing. So it was a terrific discussion, and quite frankly, Frank scared the living daylights out of most of the franchisors and franchisees who are in attendance about things that we'll be discussing tonight, such as data security and breaches. So again, thanks to the Franchise Update folks for putting on such a great conference. We look forward to your next conference, which is in Atlanta, the Franchise Consumer Marketing Show, and I believe that's toward the end of June. So let's get to tonight's topic. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about data security for franchises and small businesses. And joining me tonight, a couple of experts in this area, we have John Martin, president of First Watch Technologies. Good evening, John.
Hey, good evening, Jack. How are you tonight?
Very good. Thanks so much for joining us. And also joining us is Joe Lazzarotti of Jackson Lewis PC. Good evening, Joe.
Hey, good evening, Jack.
Well, thanks to both of you for joining us tonight. The topic of data breaches and security, it seems to be becoming more and more prominent at every one of these franchise outings or other types of industry events that we get together. There seems to be a lot of interest in hearing more about what's going on there. And it's obvious to me that more people are seeing some sort of risk or seeing some sort of trouble coming up over the horizon. John, could you start off just sort of giving us an overview of what's happening in the world today with all of these data breaches? And who's being affected, and how are they being affected?
I'd be happy to, Jack. What we're seeing in the industry today, I guess we can't help but see it in the news every day. We hear about the Target data breach, the Home Depot data breach, the Anthem data breach. I don't think there's a day that goes by that we don't hear about data breaches in the news. But there's some interesting facts that I don't think we really see in the news. For example, almost two-thirds of data breaches are actually at companies with 100 employees or less. And for every big one we hear about in the news, there's probably dozens of others that we don't hear about. So the primary target is the small business owner, of which I know that we're probably a lot of franchisees are listening out there today. And franchisees are a prime target. And you kind of ask yourself the question sometimes, well, why are the small businesses target a primary target? Well, it's pretty simple. If you are a data thief, would you want to try to break the security at a major corporation, or would you rather go to try to break the security at a smaller corporation and or a smaller business? You know, for example, I'm sure, Jack, you did hear about the Target breach. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You mentioned three places that my family seems to spend a lot of money over the past few years: Target, Home Depot, and Anthem Blue Cross. Right. So yeah, they got us where we live with those.
Yeah. So then you probably got one of those letters, right?
We got several of those letters. Yes.
Well, you know what's interesting? I mentioned about how we hear about it in the news all the time. Well, people are becoming more and more aware of it, and even business owners are becoming more aware because they're receiving the letters from the bigger corporations as well. So, you know, it's a timely industry, and it's a timely for industries such as franchising to want to know more about it. Now, Target breach was done by hackers. And was actually they got access to the Target systems through HVAC contractor. Again,
no kidding.
So
through a vendor, that's how the hackers got to Target was through a vendor, not even through a Target owned system.
That is correct. And again, that's why the smaller business. This is one of the reasons that the smaller business owner is really the target. So you think in terms of the franchise industry, you know, you've got all this great technology and firewalls at the franchise corporations, at the parent companies. Well, the likelihood is they're going to have to go, hackers, if it is a hacker, is probably going to go through a franchisee first because there is electronic communication going on between a franchisee and a franchisor. And which leads to the next interesting dynamic that Joe may be able to speak to a little bit later. It's the idea of so much today, companies, small, large, profit, and nonprofit, they're concentrating on technology and technology data security. And what we are finding right now is that they're ignoring their obligations under the law. And they're also ignoring the fact that with simple policies and procedures, development of those security policies and procedures, not technology, that Verizon risk team and the Secret Service determined that 96% of breaches are avoidable.
Wow.
So we believe the focus in a lot of cases is in the wrong way because, you know, any kind of technology can be defeated if the hackers are, if they're smart enough and they're determined.
Wow, amazing.
Didn't you mention earlier, Jack, that you had heard about the Department of Homeland Security was hacked today?
Yeah, I believe that was just today. Department of Homeland Security, I didn't get the full story on exactly what information they got. I don't even know if that's available yet, but I assume that will be a big story over the next several days and weeks.
And here's some frightening statistics. So we've concentrated on data breaches and hacking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds of data breaches are actually by employees. Whether malicious or accidental. So, and when you think of data breaches, you know, there's really a primary motivation today is greed. Okay, 15 years ago, the primary motivation was ego. So, So you think in terms of why are these crimes being committed? Well, first of all, it's highly profitable. The hackers or the employees are rarely caught, and they are rarely prosecuted. So it has also led to the development of criminal enterprises that either steal and sell data, again, whether it's through employees or whether it's through electronic hacking, or they use the data themselves for profit. And, you know, one of the more current crimes is to hack and ransom. You know, think about a hacker being able to get into a system and then locking up the system and then holding up the business owner for $300 or $400 or $500 to unload the system.
Sure.
Another couple of the frightening statistics, to, you know, kind of the overview. It has been determined by one of the independent consulting firms that monitor data breaches that 80% of all companies in the U.S. last year had a data breach, whether they realized it or not.
Wow. And that was I was going to ask you about that. It seems to me like there could be a lot of people who've been hacked and a lot of corporations that have been hacked, and they don't even know it yet. Is that possible?
That's entirely possible. We know that sometimes it takes up to 2 years for them to figure out that they've been hacked. And you know, it begs the question, what do I do now that I've discovered that I've been hacked? And
yeah.
Again, the concentration is, you know, has been, in a lot of cases, it's been misplaced, right? It's been placed primarily on defenses, electronic defenses, ignoring the policies and the procedures that help them prevent data breaches, and what the law is in the states that where a company, again, whether it's a small business, big business, profit, nonprofit, all covered by the same laws, requires certain actions.
And should we go into some of those actions, or maybe Joe, let's get you into the conversation at this point, and let's talk a little bit about you know, what should we be doing, what steps should we be taking to prepare for some sort of a response to the breach.
Sure. So this is a kind of question that comes up frequently with clients and companies. And there's a couple of ways to look at it. If we're focused on data breaches, a good thing to do is to at least get some of the key people together, because one of the things that all the 47 state, and there are 47 state data breach notification laws, all of them require notification without unreasonable delay. So you're in this position that you have to respond as quickly as possible. In some states, like Florida, for example, you have to get notice out within 30 days of discovering the breach. So you really got to move quickly. And very often, there's a lot of things, once you determine that you have a breach, that you kind of have to consider. How will you get notices out if you have many to send? What vendor will you use? Will you offer monitoring? And who will you do? Who will you use that service to provide that service? How will you, or if will you, provide any kind of credit monitoring service? Do you have legal counsel to help you through it? Do you have insurance? So there are many questions and steps that have to take place. And one of the things that companies do is they'll conduct, something, you know, in the nature of like a tabletop exercise to actually get some people in a room and say, okay, let's go through some scenarios. But in order to do that, it's helpful to have thought through maybe a policy or a procedure that you might follow. And increasingly, although it'd be helpful for more companies to do it, because a lot of the breaches that I've helped clients through, they don't have that type of policy. They haven't gone through that kind of exercise. So they're kind of, you know, really unsure of what steps to take, who makes decisions, who is in charge of deciding the final content of a letter, who will respond to questions. And so that takes time to make those decisions in the heat of the response, which is not generally good, because it winds up delaying the notification, and that's what triggers typically some kind of an inquiry from the state or federal agencies that enforce these rules. So from a data breach perspective, what could you do now? You know, plan about, you know, looking at developing a policy and running through that policy, and it's good to do that at least annually. In terms of, you know, the other question is, well, how do we prepare before the breach happens?
Yeah. Let's go there for a minute. That could be more helpful than anything.
Right, and I think you know the first thing, certainly for small businesses, and even at the highest levels of government, is to recognize, I think, that you're never going to totally be positioned to prevent any breach. You almost kind of have to think, look, this is going to happen, but how can I do the most that's reasonably possible to prevent it within the resources that we have and given risk tolerances and what regulatory environment you're under? I mean, you know, when you think about any company, really understanding your risk is critical to exercising judgment as to how far you need to go. And so for, you know, in the franchise world, you can have obviously franchise that process payment card and credit card data all day long. If you're in the restaurant franchise, for example, you can have healthcare franchises that have to worry about HIPAA. There might be financial franchises that have all kinds of SEC or FINRA obligations. And then, of course, there's state law. So, understanding what environment you're in will help to shape and direct the appropriate resources. But in short, it's about, you know, looking at your workforce, understanding where your customers are, knowing the data that you have, knowing where it's coming in from, who has access to it, where is it going, and thinking about what kinds of administrative, physical, technical safeguards that can be implemented to protect it. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of this, when you think about it, is common sense. It's important to have a password policy and not share passwords among different employees. It's sometimes you find that's common practice. You'd be surprised. Having and installing regular malware, virus protection, making sure doors are locked, making sure that laptops aren't left on trains, you know, making sure that if people are working remotely, they are careful to manage the device that they're given, whether it's company or employee owned. I mean, there are some basic things that you go through, I think, to help manage. And many of the breaches that I've worked on and that I've worked on with John, they're caused by lapses in some of these basic common sense tools that, look, people make mistakes and also people take advantage of mistakes that create these breaches.
Very good. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight we're talking about data security for franchises and small businesses with Joe Lazzarotti of Jackson Lewis PC and John Martin of First Watch Technologies. John, let's talk a little bit more about the consequences. I would assume, and I've said this for a while, that you know a big company like Target, Home Depot, sure they have a big data breach, but I think they're going to survive, right? You know, they're gonna be just fine. They've got the resources to get their reputation back and so forth. But for a smaller business or maybe a franchise system, it really could be an existential threat, right?
Absolutely. In fact, Symantec did a study and found that 60% of small businesses that were hacked went out of business within 6 months.
Wow.
And if they don't go out of business, we find that the average amount of money that is spent on data breach reaction expenses, such as sending out the letters, getting somebody to answer the telephone, legal advice, perhaps PR advice, forensic investigation, if it was a hack job, we've seen statistics anywhere from $25,000 up to $400,000 in data breach reaction expenses alone. Then you have fines and penalties, depending upon, you know, did you as a business owner comply with the state laws that you're in, or that your customers are in? You know, you may have employees and customers in states different than the state that you actually have your headquarters in.
Right.
Then you think in terms of customer and employee trust, brand and personal reputation. Panamon, which is a independent study firm, has been tracking data breaches for over 10 years. And I think the latest statistics are that for every record lost, it averages about $201 per record between direct and indirect expenses. You know, the indirect of the loss of employee, customer trust, and brand reputation. And then, of course, like you had mentioned earlier, the threat of just going out of business.
Yeah. You know, and I look at it from a marketing and sales point of view, and it's like if you're going to spend $25,000 to $400,000, wow, I'd sure rather have that in the marketing budget to grow the business instead of, you know, trying to fix a problem that you know, maybe we could have avoided in the first place. Let's talk a little bit about that as we get close to the end of the program tonight. If each of you, and John, we'll start with you, if you give me a piece of advice for any franchisor or small business owner, franchisee, what's something they should do tomorrow to really help in preventing all of these security issues that we're talking about tonight? John, one thing that you would advise someone to do tomorrow?
Well, I know this is probably a simple statement, but do something. Recognize that there is a real risk, and then seek professional help. I think that the awareness is there, but I don't think that the franchisee or the small business owner really comprehends of where they can go to get some help. And the franchisors, at least from what I see, they recognize it, and they haven't taken the step because part of it is I don't know that they recognize that they may have a shared liability, and their most important asset as a franchisor is really their brand. And if their franchisees are having data breaches, it's affecting their brand. And just as a little side note, you know, we did a little research here earlier today, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There are 13 franchise systems that have suffered data breaches within the last 6 months. So,
oh, no kidding!
Franchising is not immune. So
yeah,
that's my best.
Yeah, and I would say it sounds like they're a good target these days as well.
They are a big target because there's a lot of great information. Primarily, these are credit card information that they're going after, and just reviewing these breaches, it was anywhere from a system wide in one case to 395 locations in another, 1,850 stores in another, fours in another, 13 stores, restaurants, hotels, variety of different franchise systems, all have
wow.
data breaches.
Great. So recognize the risk, seek some professional help, get some good counsel on the subject. Joe, any further thoughts from you on something that you would advise a business owner to do tomorrow to sort of start down the path of preventing this?
What I would say is have a meeting with your top people in each department in the organization. Data doesn't stay in one department. It moves. This is an enterprise-wide issue. And so what I see is sometimes people in one department not really getting on board, and I think it's important to have this issue start at the top, and awareness needs to be enterprise-wide, and that starts with the leadership of the company. And so if a company owner goes into his leadership team and says, this is a priority, and makes it that, it'll filter down.
Great. Excellent. And last question for both of you. John, where is a good place where people can learn some more? Do you have some websites, blogs, anything else like that that would have some good content on the subject for people to read up on?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website address is firstwatchcorp.com, and that's spelled out. FIRST watch WATCH corp CORP.com. And we have a series of white papers. In fact, we have a blog on our homepage of the website that Joe authors with his law firm, Jackson Lewis.
Oh, great.
If somebody wants to get a hold of me personally, best way to reach me is my email address is john@firstwatchcorp.com, or our toll-free number is 888-635-3587. If I'm not in the office, ask for Dave. He's probably capable of giving information, and but feel free to call our office, look at our website, get white papers, blogs. I think the franchise industry would find some great content with them to help guide them.
Excellent, and that's all accessible right there on your site. There's no cost for the white papers or anything like that.
No cost at all accessible, and the blog is, again, all accessible.
Excellent, and that's at firstwatchcorp.com, and you can reach John at john.martin@firstwatchcorp.com. Joe, a good place to reach you and get more information from you.
Sure. Our website is jacksonlewis.com. That's the main firm website. The blog that John was talking about is on that site. The website for the blog is workplaceprivacyreport.com, and it's kept up to date, has a lot of content on there, and there's also some tools on there, including checklists and PowerPoints and so on. My direct dial in the office is 973-451-6363.
Excellent. And that was jacksonlewis.com, and the blog is at workplaceprivacyreport.com?
Yep.
Okay, excellent. And for all the listeners, tomorrow we'll take all of these links that I just mentioned, and we'll put them on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page. So if anybody wants an easy place to go to find all of these links that we've mentioned, we'll have them up there tomorrow. So once again, John Martin of First Watch Technologies and Joe Lazzarotti of Jackson Lewis PC. Thank you guys so much for being our guests tonight on Social Geek Radio. Great information, and we look forward to catching up with you and checking out some of the content on those sites. So thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for tonight, everybody. We'll be back with Deb next week on Social Geek Radio. Good night, everybody.